And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. This week I visited the South Americans. It is a continent to our south and in our own hemisphere. I visited with the local leaders of that lands and discussed strategies in the war on terror and the South American economy and the South American peoples. I had joined with our allies to discuss ethanol as an alternative fuel to addictive oils. I admitted certain shortfalls in our fightings of the wars, and the message from the South Americans was clear. Gringos, go home. And I listened to that message, and I went home. And I look back on this productive trip to the south of our borders, and I remember it fondly. Asado is a traditional barbecued beef that I sampled in the country of the Uruguays, which is a nation in the South Americans, and it was delicious. In Brazil, I enjoyed black Angus steak cooked in the Fuego Gaucho style, I believe it's called. It's cooked over an open flame with Brazilian spices, and it was a very good lunch. And on the plane, we had beef hot dogs. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of March, in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. I'd like to know, by the way, that we are almost 2 minutes into this program. I am wearing a shirt that is white, and I have yet to spill anything staining upon it. And every time I leave the house in this shirt, I get about a block down the road and I spill something on it. That has not happened yet. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program, live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. I'd like to point out that about 90 seconds before we started the program today, Tim Riley used the following phrase. Quote, "He's probably got Christmas lights shoved up his rectum." End quote. I'll just let you create your own context around that. Sort of like a reverse Mad Libs kind of a thing. It's sort of like one of those paper dolls where you have a paper doll and then you can put it on whatever, like they give you a variety of backgrounds. And here's Jane at a party. Here's Jane in an elevator. Here's Jane joining the Crips. Whatever it is, you can just use that phrase and you can just put any kind of words you like around it. That's actually, we should do that at some point. Not the Christmas light and the shoving, but we'll wait for actual Christmas to do that. We should give people, this is a great idea. Listen, now see, you're witnessing now, this is genius in action. You're witnessing the creation of an amusing radio bit from Genesis, all the way to the thing that's the opposite of Genesis. We should give people a punchline to which there is no joke. They create the joke.
Like the Wenatchee Banana thing, we tried to do it with that.
Yeah, but that's no... We mentioned that and then never did it. This is the difference that we would actually do this. Do we do this? It's not going to be the thing about the rectum, though. Because that seems like we're inviting all kinds of trouble. All right. Fantastic. It's 503. I wonder if they were energy-saving Christmas lights. Also, I wonder if they blinked or played some sort of merry tune. It's 503-733-2970.
What are you doing, crazy?
Nothing. But look at me. This is almost as great as yesterday when Sarah Dillon said, "I once turned a gay man straight." Said that at 2:53 yesterday. I had the good taste and decency not to repeat it at that time. Today, good taste and decency gone. 503-733-2970 if you'd like to engage with us telephonically today. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Scotty, do we have anything to give away? Do we have today? I never keep track of what we've got to give away and what we don't. I always sort of assume there's a big pile of those onion books back there, but I'm never really sure about that. Scotty, I'll see about onion books. He said, before the phrase is even out of my mouth. That's sort of our go-to here, because I think the onion people sent us like 800 of those at one point.
All right.
Well, we'll have to come up with the punchline, though. We'll have to come up with the punchline, and it'll have to be non-profane. And then we'll just throw it out there, and we'll see who can create the best joke around it. It's 503-733-2970. Scotty, we knew. Yes, okay. We need a new star guest to interview as well. We'll get on that. You find somebody interesting. 503-733-2970. And find, see if you can find an interview that doesn't refer to a guy holding something and then the word nuts later on. If you'd like to email us, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. If you'd like to engage with us in a binary fashion with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your two cents, your what have you. By the way, speaking of kvetches and Yiddish, which is a glorious language, which is, I believe, a pollination between German and Hebrew. I know I've made this point before in the program, or maybe I haven't. And you know what? It doesn't matter if I don't think I have, actually. So I'm going to make this point now to all of you, because I cherish the correct use of Yiddish. Kvetch is a Yiddish word. Verklempt, a Yiddish word. You know what's not a Yiddish word? Swag. That's why there's no C-H in it. Swag does not contain, it is not spelled, nor is it pronounced swag. I saw that yesterday. And that's one of those things like Washington that people just started mispronouncing. But then, like, the verbal abuse of it suddenly started to creep into print. I saw it yesterday in, the hell, I was in Rolling Stone. Which I stopped expecting quality from Rolling Stone years ago anyway, but still, it still hurts. When they're putting all those shirtless bastards from Fall Out Boy in the cover, it's not like I really can take them seriously anyway, but they're writing about some Oscar party or whatever, and they're like, bags of swag were sitting on the table. There's no C and there's no H. It's S-W-A-G, and it's not Yiddish. It's important to know what Yiddish is. It's important to know what Yiddish is not. So the next time somebody does that, I want you to give them a good groin punching from me, won't you please? Thank you. It is a public service from the Linguistic Department of the Rick Emerson Show. Speaking of which, well, we'll talk about this in a second. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us, you can also do that. It's rick@rickemerson.com. It is Thursday. Coming up later on today, we have a double penis watch. We have a geek watch. The geek watch is great today. It's about it's not all that huge. It's just about the, I think it's just about Harry Potter. Oh, no, there's some Grindhouse news as well. Boy, let me talk about a movie that I'm all over. I still haven't seen 300 because I really don't care. And I'll see it eventually just because people are talking about it. Because I'm not going to pretend that I'm all wrapped up in seeing it because I'm not. But Grindhouse, I am all wrapped up in seeing. Already a movie that I can tell Tim Riley should stay away from. And if you're not planning on staying away from it now, you will. By the time we get to the end of the article about Grindhouse today, which they screened, I think, in New York Times or someplace the other day. And they... I'm just going to say this, that apparently there's a scene in Grindhouse of a naked, morbidly obese man chewing on a baby. And that's not code for anything. He literally is just a big, fat man chewing on a baby.
Where was this?
In Grindhouse, the new Tarantino Rodriguez film.
Have you seen The Hills Have Eyes?
No. The original or the remake?
The remake.
No.
Okay, there's some baby eating in that, too.
Well, baby eating is all the rage. It's all ball bearings and baby eating these days. Baby eating? Really? Okay. They do taste like chicken. Let's see. So we'll talk about Grindhouse, which apparently is the worst, and by worst, I mean best. And there's a poster hanging for it in Court and Fatboy's office. And it just looks fantastic. It looks so great. I don't know if we're going to be doing anything with that or not, but I mean, this is stupid. I've already got a mental countdown clock going on that. What else? Ow, 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 I'm being gored in the scrotum. We'll get to that. What else? Who does Barack Obama find strangely sexy on the campaign trail? Let's see. Also, well, I'll attempt to get to this top five. No promises. We'll try to get to the top five today, and then we'll talk a little bit about this Eddie Izzard show, The Riches, which I guess was huge, which I guess got a pretty decent rating, in as much as anything on television can get a decent rating anymore. So all of that is coming up. Let's see. We got Jim Roop from Los Angeles today. You're going to talk, because I guess they moved the presidential primary up to like, Jesus, it literally, they moved it back like 5 months. Like it's from June or July or something all the way to February. So we'll talk to him about that. Lisa Goddard will join us later on. We'll see how she's feeling today. And she'll talk about the latest impotent, futile, pointless, stupid gesture by the Democrats, which will have no effect on anything that affects any of our daily lives. It's 503-733-2970. Or you can email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Or join the days. Are we always by the lovely and talented Sarah Dillon. How are you?
I'm good.
How was the Blazer game?
It was really fun.
Who won? Well, I don't even need to ask. Of course.
Yeah, they didn't win.
Whoever was playing the Blazers won.
They put up a really good fight. It was fun to watch because there was a lot of back and forth, and at times the score was really close.
Yeah, but then in the end they lose.
But then they lost. But then I went to a good show afterward too. So.
And then you had breakfast. Where would you like to share the people? Share with the people where you had breakfast this morning?
Yes, I would. No, it's not breakfast. It's breakfast slash lunch.
Uh-huh. And it's from.
I had to go to the Glamorous Plaid Pantry.
Yeah, and the best and worst part of this is that I can immediately spot that your lunch was from the Plaid Pantry because that's where I had lunch today as well. I had, and then your gentleman friend who dropped you off at work today, did he also have lunch at the Plaid Pantry?
He sure did.
Fantastic. So there you go.
We're just a bunch of classy people.
So really, among us, only Tim Riley will continue to live. The rest of us will die a long, slow, artery-clogged death as our bodies lurch forward to the grave.
I think Scotty J's having his tortilla soup or whatever it is. So.
Oh, we'll talk about Scott. We'll talk about Scotty J in just a second. Tim Riley's working on the following story today for your edification.
All righty, it's going to be a very busy day. I can tell you that right now. First, good news. One of the guys arrested for the Belmont convenience store robbery and shooting has confessed. Confessed? And a stuck train whistle blows for 90 minutes straight, leaving many Portlanders with jangled nerves.
Is that one of those,
Yeah. For 90 minutes straight.
What was it?
Fantastic. All right. And Barack Obama says, blank blank is kind of cute.
It's totally true.
And a so-called 9/11 suspect at Gitmo admits to being the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks and just about everything else that's gone wrong in America over the past 2 years, except for stealing copper wire, parts from junkyards, and neighborhood cats.
Excellent. Fantastic. By the way, did I mention her name? Well, Joni. Our good friend Joni, did I mention that the Belmont shooter lived like right next door to her? In the same apartment building.
Oh, man.
In the same apartment building.
So she can actually start writing the script for the made-for-TV movie.
Totally. She should totally be on the Instabook. Day of Horror, Night of Panic, the Belmont shooting case. Well, and as soon as I mentioned that to my friend Nate, who works at K2, he's like, hey, sweet, I'm going to hustle the news crew over there to get the neighbor reaction shot, where she can give the whole, he kept to himself, but there was a lot of noise at night. She sent me this text the other day. She's like, guess what glorious Vancouver apartment building the alleged Belmont shooter, although he's confessed, right?
Confessed, yeah.
Well, F him. So the Belmont shooter and his methed out girl, allegedly, methed out girlfriend lived in. And you totally nailed it, though. And you live in one of those, not to disparage the place where Joni lives, but it is Vancouver.
And I've lived in many places like that. I know what it's like.
No, so have I. So have we all. Some of us still live in places like that, where the odds, I mean, everybody, like, don't you just wish, and you probably don't, that just for one day, I said a long time ago, actually, that I wish that I had some sort of magic wand, and that I could wave it, and on a given day, you could walk down the street and just see how many people you pass every day are on the verge of killing someone. You know what I mean? Now, they haven't killed anybody yet. It's not that they're on the lam, but they're just on the edge of mental implosion. It's just on the precipice of going on some sort of murderous, bloody rampage. Because I bet you, I would imagine, now I don't know that this is true, I would imagine that probably every day, you pass at least two people. Like, unless you just spend your whole day locked inside a cellar somewhere. I would say if you're out and about doing things, walking through the mall, down the street, on the road, in your office, whatever, you pass one or two people every day who are seriously thinking of going and getting a gun and just dealing with some people who have to be dealt with. That would be my guess.
That's what I picture every time I'm in the Hawthorne Fred Meyer.
Thank you. I was riding on the train the other day with some girl who was bragging a cell phone about beating some girl's head into a locker.
Was she planning it or had it already taken
place? No, it had already taken place. Apparently she crossed this other girl.
You should have asked for photos. You know that she had some. There's no crime now that doesn't. It isn't also photographed by some a-hole on his cell phone. I could wave again some sort of wand so you could see the number of people on your street who are engaged in some sort of felony, like at this moment. whether it's the meth lab or whether they're busy sawing off somebody's head with a penknife in their attic. I've lived in those apartment buildings, too. The only good thing about those apartment buildings is that about half of the days of the month you can be really loud because the people on either side of you have been arrested, and they're in a jail cell somewhere waiting to be bailed out. I used to have these neighbors, and they only had two... This is when I lived in the glorious metropolis. It was Spokane, Washington. And they only had two modes. One mode was just to be playing Shout at the Devil by Motley Crue all day and all night. And I'm pretty sure selling cocaine at the front door of their house. There was no back door. So they couldn't really be stealthy if they wanted to. There was no back door. And the only other mode was like being gone, because the cops would come like once every 10, 12 days, and they would arrest everybody, and then they'd return. But during like the 5 or 6 days when they were in jail, it was glorious. I could just be as loud as I wanted. They didn't mind.
All right. Well, yeah, I used to live right across from somebody like that in a apartment court, and this person would end up going back to jail, and he'd leave his dog, a pit bull named Freedom, alone in the apartment to knock up the screen and snarl at people still in the apartment complex.
That's wonderful.
How long would he leave Freedom at a time?
Oh, he'd be gone for like a couple days in jail, and Freedom would be knocking the screens out of the windows, hanging out of the second floor. He was about ready to jump down on somebody walking by.
Okay.
Know what to do.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever done this? Now that we're talking about dogs, have you ever driven by a house and seen a dog standing on the roof? Okay, I have. Just the other day.
In Southeast?
Just the other day in Southeast Portland. I was driving through Southeast, and I was driving by like, it wasn't like an A-frame house, but I mean, it was, you know, like a ranch house. You know, and there was a dog standing on the roof. Didn't appear to be in any sort of distress. He was just sort of hanging out. Just sort of up there.
Was it a small dog?
I don't know. Couldn't tell. He was way up there. I have no idea how he got up there. How would a dog get on the roof of a house? It doesn't make any sense. I almost wanted to stop and stare at it like it was some sort of puzzle that had been put there just to... Like some sort of Myst-style game that had been put there just to sort of screw with me. Dog named Freedom.
Well, his master's in jail. a pit bull ready to swoop down on the neighbors at any moment.
Well, and you're lucky he's on the second floor, too, because he's bashing out the window, attempting to get the scent of new blood down on the street.
Exactly.
Fantastic. All right. Well, in any event, it's 503-733-2970. I don't even remember where I was going. Speaking of the Hawthorne Fred Meyer, where I don't ever feel as though I'm going to be shot. I was going there the other day, actually. I had to do the thing, and I'm not going to get off and do a whole rant about this because we got other stuff we got to get to. But really, for the love of sweet holy Christ on a stick. Look, at some point, somebody has got to reverse this trend of razor blades costing more than gold. And I don't know if that's... See, you use an electric razor or like a blade?
A blade.
See... I got two questions wrapped up in one here. And you use a blade, right?
Yeah, the refill cartridges, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, what do you use? There's like some girl version of... Because I use the Mach 3.
Yeah, I use the Gillette Venus.
Now, how many blades are on that?
I think three or four.
All right, 3, 9. Tim, what do you use?
Some three-bladed razor that's kind of heavy.
That's probably...
For the rubber handle.
It is, that's the Gillette Mach 3. That's the same one I use. And I feel like a tool, first of all, because it makes me feel like I've been marketed to, that we're all using the same... No one told me to do it. I mean, except in the passive advertising sense, and here I am. No independent thought. Yes, let's all use the same...
I like the green packaging.
I find it visually alluring. It does have that kind of, like, electric green, like electric aquamarine look to it. Speaking of aquamarine, you know what no one uses anymore is aquavelva. Aquavelva isn't a thing that anybody wears. It's just like your dad or like some molesting uncle that you've got somewhere. Anyway, I use the Mach 3 too, and it is that old thing about they give you the razor and they sell you the blade, except they don't even give you the goddamn razor. Goddamn razor's $9. $9 for what is effectively a metal stick that I jab sharp things at my face with. And then so you go through the blades, and then you got to go... A refill pack of four was $17. $17. What I would give... You have no idea what I would give to never have to shave again. I would pay any price. And I know that women have to shave lots of things that men don't, but you can cover it up. You can skip a day. You can skip 5 days if whoever it is that you're seeing at the time doesn't really matter. And why would he? I mean, seriously. But guys...
I can skip one day at most. You can skip one day, and you can almost, like, if you have a regular sort of white-collar job like we do, you can skip a day, and you can pass it. You can even make it work to your advantage by doing the whole,
yeah, I was in the office real late last night, but I had that early confab this morning at 7:30 with the East Coast. I didn't want to miss that, so, yeah, I'll shave later. You know, and you can, you know, it's like you nose to the grindstone, shoulder to the wheel, ear to the ground, the other thing to the other thing. You can't skip more than a day, though, because then you just look like a wino. And so I'm obliged to go. It's like you can't just stop shaving. But then you can't. Here's the other thing. So there's that. There's that razor blades are more expensive than lobster, caviar, gold, or G.I. Joe figures from the 1980s. Then there's this. There's the fact that, I mean, have they ever made an electric shaver that works? I would do this about, when I was up until about 28, 29, about every 2 years, I would just give up with the blade and I would just switch to the electric razor. And electric razors never work. That's the thing. They continue to market electric razors that shave as close as a blade of your money back. Never works. Not one electric razor has ever functioned properly. My final thought and observation and question about shaving is this. Is this, and probably not to Tim, because Tim lives in some glorious house of tomorrow that floats on a cloud city above Tannisborn that he gets to with his hover car every day before the food thing, like, serves him a dinner made of capsules.
The Max does not hover.
No, it doesn't hover in the city. It doesn't like to show off. I bet at a certain point, once you get out past, like, once you get about 9 miles outside of Portland, I bet that you go into some tunnel and it just flies out the other side, sort of Harry Potter style. Just soars into the sky once you've left the commoners behind.
Nope, the Max is the same, even if you're in the fairless zone. Every day.
Do you, I mean, so Sarah, you shave in the sink, right? Do you shave your armpits in the sink every day, or is that just a special
day? No, that was with a giant bug. No, I take a shower.
Okay, most men, to my understanding, shave, this is Relatable Thursday, by the way, so you will note my relatable topic. Most men shave in the sink, do they not? Most men don't shave in the shower, I don't think. I would imagine that most men shave in the sink. Is it just my shoddy Southeast plumbing? Because I can no longer, like, I can't shave in the sink at all because, like, 2 days at the max, and then the sink just clogs, and then I have to go to the store and buy that $9 thing of Drano that I pour right down the drain. Here's what I'm now obliged to do. You can't shave in the shower because then the water's hitting you in the eyes, and it's like even those fog-free mirrors don't work all that well, and you can never really see what you're doing. And then you gotta, like, square it up later in the mirror regardless. So I end up shaving over the sink, as I think most men do. But again, it's just like 1 or 2 days at the most, and then the whole sink just clogs with your facial hair and the goo and the gunk and the whatever. And so what I'm now obliged to do is, my sink is right next to the bathtub. I am now obliged to stand in front of the sink, and here's my morning ritual now. I open my shower doors, I will lean in, I will turn on the bathtub spout to hot, and then I will shave over the sink, but I will rinse the razor blade in the bathtub. So I will wet my shaving brush, bristle thing, whatever. I'll do that in the bathtub, and then I'll do, like, I get, like, 3 passes with the blade. And then I got to lean in, and I'm rinsing it underneath the shower tap. And then, of course, it's just a matter of time before somebody, like, my hippie wife, it comes and screams at me about how I'm using, like, and I know I'm using, like, 100 times the amount of water. I can't even fathom the amount of water that I use every week shaving. Because I can't shave in the sink, because then the whole thing clogs. Do other people have this problem? Is this one of those problems that only happens to me? Okay. 503-733-2970.
10 minutes.
I'm just saying. Oh, listen to this. Scotty recommends. Scotty's razor has 5 blades. Please tell me it's not one of those. Is it one of those things? Is it like electric? Do you want one of those battery-operated razors? All right. Because that would just be stupid. How hard is it to move your hand? There was a guy in front of me actually buying those. And the blades now are so expensive. I don't know if you've noticed this. The blades, at least at the Safeway, are so expensive that they are now kept behind the counter where they used to be. It's like that. Well, of course, there's all that space now because they've taken the Sudafed away. I can't buy the Sudafed at all anymore. So where they used to keep the Sudafed behind the counter, they now... I swear to God, it's like you're buying some sort of a controlled substance where you have to go to the razor aisle, you take out the little cardboard paper that says, I'd like some Mach 3 blades, and then you, like, slide it to the pharmacy guy, and then he slides the blades back. It's like you're buying things at the prison canteen. All right. This is... Oh, no, but this is the guy in front of me buying... What is that? What is the new Gillette Mach 3 thing that has a battery that goes... That thing, where like it moves for you. Do you know what that is? Well, whatever. There's a new version of that one that Tim and I use, the Mach 3. Tim and I used to use, don't use the same. We go home on a tandem bicycle and then sleep in bunk beds. No, Tim and I use the same razor that I think a lot of guys do, and you use the female version of it, which is the Mach 3. They now make this other, like, fat-ass, lard-butted American version of it, where you press a button and the blades move back and forth for you. How much trouble is... Move your goddamn arm, you fat retard. Seriously.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I really am. I just can't shave properly.
Let's see. This is,
Roger. Hello, Roger.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
You ever try to beat the system with those razors? I'll go and pay the $10 for a razor. And by the way, I do have the, Gillette Fusion that... You put the battery in,
okay.
But after you buy it, you decide, you know, I'm not going to pay, you know, $20 for extra one. So you try to use the same blade, you know, for eight weeks.
Oh, I'll do that.
And you just rip your face all up.
I am the king of that, too, because the Mach 3, I know that we're late, but we're just going to have to be okay with that. The Mach 3, this is too relatable to stuff. The Mach 3, like maybe the Gillette Fusion, have the little color strip that tells you when the blade is getting dull, like some toothbrushes have now that tell you when the bristles are gone?
Oh, absolutely.
I'll use it, and it's blue. The Mach 3 when it's blue, and when the strip turns, and it presses against your face as you shave, and when it turns white, that's when you're supposed to shave cartridges. I will shave with that thing white and like... And starting to, like, wear away.
Yeah, my wife will look at me and she'll know because my face will be all tore up. She'll be like, refuse to buy the blades again, huh?
Yeah, seriously.
Yep.
Well, because they're like $100. I mean, it's insane.
Well, see, then I don't replace the battery. So now it's moving like a gin alcoholic in the morning instead of a nice, comfortable gear. It's going back and forth like, you know,
So it's going to go...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's got to feel good. That doesn't irritate your skin at all.
Yeah, you guys do a great job, Rick. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. All right, that's Roger. No, that's why I won't get the thing with the battery. That's the I won't cross that. Of course, I also said I wasn't going to buy a razor.
Okay, I'm going to admit it. I have the one with the battery.
You are retarded, really?
No, and it doesn't make the blades move back and forth.
What does it do?
It vibrates. So like when you're shaving.
Well, what's the point of that?
I don't know. I really do feel like it shaves closer. I do. I like it a lot.
Scotty saying that his normal channels look better on the HDTV.
No, I had a
You are convincing yourself that it works better.
No, because actually I had an ex-boyfriend who had the male version of it. And I would use it. Yeah. And it works really well.
So it doesn't even move the blades. It just jiggles?
It doesn't move the blades. It just, like, vibrates. It's like this, like, low humming, like, vibrating.
You'll note that I'm not going to make any crude comments about that. But seriously, what... If it's not even moving the blades, and I mean this sincerely, what is it doing?
I don't know.
What is the vibrating action doing?
It was cheaper. You know what? I bought it because it was actually cheaper than the regular Venus.
Ah, but see, that's the thing. They sell it cheap, and then they screw you later on.
But they all use the same blade.
This whole thing is... See, now it's, the whole thing is just mystifying now. Let's see. Greg, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
I can't believe they kept me on the phone for this. Rick, could you just shave in the kitchen sink there and spare us all?
I don't have a mirror in the kitchen.
Well, we get one. You got one in the shower.
Shave into the garbage disposal? That just feels weird.
Well, it goes down the garbage disposal, though. It doesn't clog up.
I suppose. I mean, wouldn't it be easier if they just built the bathroom sink so it worked?
Well, yeah, you know.
Does this happen to you? Does your
Portland plumbing. Go to Home Depot, buy a gallon of muriatic acid, open your bathroom window, pour the whole gallon into the sink, and leave the room for a half hour.
All right. Thank you, sir. I don't think he was really trying to be helpful.
Everyone just feels you and your razor blade problem.
James, look. Now,
Rick.
Yes, hi, sir.
Two things. Number one, the mirror in the shower, put a little Rain-X on it. You'll be able to see forever.
Rain-X. Okay, because, see, if I really could, and of course I'm blind as a bat, too, so then I'll have to get, like, Rain-X on my eyeglasses so I can shower in the shower like a nerd. Okay?
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
And then the vibrating razor is the best thing ever. Because it vibrates, you don't feel like it's being pulled across your skin. It just it's like nothing's there. You really got to try it.
Now,
never go back.
I
really am a fan of it.
Clearly you are. So is James. I'm saying, here's the thing. Here's why I am suspicious of this. No offense. I am only suspicious of this, James, because when you say that you can almost not feel the blades, you are reciting almost verbatim the selling point that is on the package in the store?
It's not the selling point because they tested it and it worked, but it does really work. It really does.
How much does the actual razor cost, if you remember?
I don't know. I took out a second mortgage right before I got it.
So it all kind of blends together. All right. So you, but now, is this from Gillette or from, like, Schick?
The green one. Whatever the green one is.
The green one. All right. Well, all right. Well, see, now I'm going to have to go try it.
Yeah. Careful, don't break it and leave it in the shower because it'll put blue battery acid all over your shower.
Really? Is that true?
It happened to me, yeah. I dropped it a couple of times, it cracked, and blue stuff started leaking out of it because water got in where the battery is.
Yeah, that's what you want right near your eyes every morning.
Yeah, it's lovely.
All right, thank you.
Good show, thanks.
Thank you. Here's the other thing. Do you ever do this? Do you ever shave, and then you do an improper or maybe not at all job of cleaning the blades, and then you forget about it, and then the next day it's just, like, crusted in there forever. And you're using your fingernail to try to, like, get the tiny hairs out of there? Really? Okay, we're just going to do a few more of these. And we're so late that it doesn't even matter.
We've got Lisa, though, in about 5 minutes.
Well,
we really got a break.
You know? What are you going to do? I got to... Because otherwise... We're going to make Lisa listen to these calls when she's on hold. So I got to get these done. Okay, there's a couple more. We'll get these done over break. This is Aaron, not the geek. Hello, sir.
Actually, it's Darren, but that's okay.
Well, Aaron, Darren.
Costco. Buy your damn blades at Costco.
Okay, well, that's... Okay, I appreciate...
They sell them in like 8 or 10 packs for, I don't know, $25.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, that's where I get them every time.
He says with barely concealed contempt, Rick, you bastard. All right, now I can just buy a better thing. Would it help if I bought a bigger, whatever, like a bigger U-joint or whatever on my sink, do you think?
I don't know about your U-joints. That's a whole other area that you and Laura can work on your own. But I would also... I shave in the shower every day without a mirror and without shaving soap.
Yeah, but see, but then
I just do it dry.
You get out and you find that you've missed a bunch of area. Nothing worse. You get to work. You get to work and you've missed a big swath.
No, I feel around my face up and down and make sure that I don't miss anything. But then again, I don't do sideburns either. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I get the sideburns and the hey and the whatnot. All right.
No, you can quit being fashionable and just get rid of the sideburns.
All right. Well, you can quit being obnoxious and give me constructive criticism, Darren. That's what you could do. All right.
My mistake.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good day.
All right. There you go. you can tell when someone doesn't really care what you think when they end it with good day. Has there ever been a statement that was less frequently used as what it purports to be? When someone says good day to you, they don't ever want you to have a good day. That's a lie, is what that statement is. That statement is an untruth. Do we have to break?
Yeah.
When did we have to break?
12 minutes ago.
All right. Yeah. Let's take a break, shall we? The Rick Emerson Program, back after this. Don't go anywhere. And it sucks. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, making a note to myself here. See, I'm going to go buy one of these, like, weird space-age razors. And we're going to talk about Grindhouse later.
Yeah, you'll totally like it.
Especially, Rick?
Oh,
yes?
Just since you always have such, you know, so many problems shaving your face, I think you really like
fusion.
It.
Well, and I got the terrible razor burn. Like, everybody's heard me bitch about that for years. And I got this whole shaving...
I know, I went with
I'm
you.
I'm so gay.
Remember
I got this whole shaving system where I've got... It, which I love. I'm gayer by the minute. I do love my shaving system. No, but
I
got
you that fancy brush and shaving
which
lotion.
I like, and you know, because it's made out of, I swear to God, pure badger. But I've got the brush, and I've got, like, the shaving cream that comes in the thing, and you, like, stir it up and put it on, and then I've got, like, a shave oil, and which smells really nice. And it's just, I mean, I do have to say I like that. But shaving still sucks. I would still give all of that. Like, I would let somebody cut off the tip of one of my pinkies if I didn't have to shave anymore. Just in case anybody wants to make me that trade. All right, we'll get Brian and Paul here in just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hills. CNN radio correspondent, fashionably attired and with an ironclad immune system, Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm sorry, we got the... Hi there, hello?
Hello.
Oh, hi there, we had a little low-level problem. Are you feeling better today?
I am feeling better.
Fantastic.
It's bizarre, though, because I've been coughing up some blood, but I feel better.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on.
Maybe you ought to be in a hospital right now and not talking to us.
Really, I feel fine. I know it's bizarre, but maybe it's just the body's way of healing.
No, the body's way of healing is not to cough up blood. That's the body's way of dying slowly and painfully.
Well, what's, you know, if it's...
That's the body's way of dying of bird flu.
Well, it's a good thing that I've sealed in this tiny little closet in the Capitol, so I won't affect anyone else.
Okay, well...
So that's good.
I'm just saying, you might want to make sure that your affairs are in order. That's my only... I don't mean to make light of this, and really, honestly, I swear to God, we won't dwell on this after this one statement, which is to say that... I don't think you're supposed to cough up blood. I think
it's really
that
small, little, it's really kind of little clots. I don't, you know, if there's still a problem tomorrow, then I'll go to the doctor tomorrow.
Are you seeing dead relatives? Really, I think your body's what is supposed to be called, what is it, like a closed system, sort of. And that's got to be coming from somewhere. Well, never mind. I don't want to pry into your personal business. I'm just going to say... Yeah. Have you been drinking a lot? Have you been drinking a lot of Everclear? Because that'll do that.
I need to learn to withhold information from you guys.
No, that's not true. What you need to do is the opposite. You need to give in to your impulse to reveal everything to us.
Oh no.
No, that's what I'm saying. You'll be happier for it. My shrink had to beat this into me too, and eventually I was a happier person for it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So there you go. Well, all right. Well, I hope you get better and.
Well, thank you. I feel great. I feel much better.
If not, we've had a great time talking to you, and you've been a swell addition to the show, Lisa. So, all right. Well, this is like the stand. You know, people always feel better right before it's all liquefied. So,
there you go.
All right. So, no, don't worry about it, though. No stress. Well, let's try to get these stories done quickly, then, because who knows when you might just quit speaking. So is it really 4 years since we started this whole debacle? I'm sorry, this war in Iraq?
5 years.
5 years? Are you kidding me?
Isn't it 5 years on Monday?
Four, I think.
I was four.
It's insane as four is, it can't
be
five.
We'll be entering the fifth year, is what it is.
Entering the fifth year? Okay, now, no fooling aside, all kidding, all of my cynicism aside, I'm sure that, and I mean this sincerely now, I'm sure that there's a bunch of good stuff that's happened over there that really just doesn't get talked about. Or maybe not. Now, I mean, really, all things being equal, since we are now, as people have pointed out, in this Iraq war longer than we were in World War II, I mean, what's in the win column over there right now? I mean, other than getting Saddam, what else is in the plus column?
This is a good day to be asking that question, because the vice president of Iraq actually has been meeting with the president, and he has come out and said that this latest security plan, the troop increase, the focus on Baghdad and going neighborhood by neighborhood, he says it is working. He says, and in fact, there has been a decrease supposedly in Iraqi deaths in the last month. I think a decrease by some 1,600. We just got that report yesterday in numbers of casualties from Iraqis. So that is significant. The question is, of course, is this just... all of those insurgent groups, all of the militias, are they just laying low right now? Or is this something that really is going to take root and be permanent? The U.S. is saying that they've cleared something like 20% of Baghdad. They've gone of Sadr City. They've gone house to house there, and they say they've cleared 20%. You know, so they are trying to be very methodical here, and they believe that they're having some success, but it looks like it's going to take some time. But there are some reasons to believe that things are starting to calm down just a little bit in Baghdad. But the question is this just a short-term blip, or is this something that is long-term?
Well, they say that occasionally. They say, well, in anticipation of like an April offensive by Al-Qaeda or whatever. Well, how do they, I mean, first of all, how do they even know that? And secondly, why would Al-Qaeda, I mean, it seems to me that it is such a weird cellular-based organization. It seems like, I mean, it's not like it's a Tet Offensive or something where they all kind of get together in a room and plan it. Where do they get these statements that they think in April Al-Qaeda is suddenly going to make a big comeback?
You know, that I don't know. I don't know where they get that statement. I know in Afghanistan when they predict, for instance, a Taliban resurgence in the spring, that often is based just on basic geography and weather. And when the Taliban would be able to organize its forces, and usually around that time of year is when U.S. forces and the coalition in Afghanistan seize those kinds of attacks. And so that's why they get ready for that in Afghanistan. In Iraq, I'm not sure. But the tricky thing with Iraq is it's not just Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is operating in Sunni areas, which are essentially to the west of Baghdad in Al-Anbar province. But around Baghdad and in other areas of Iraq, you have Sunni and Shiite militias that are separate from al-Qaeda and that are fighting each other and have very different agendas as well. And that's where you get into it. It really is a chaotic situation in some ways. There are many violent groups with different agendas that are fighting in the same territory, and al-Qaeda is one.
So is it true that the Democrats are actually going to try, I mean, everybody get to hold on to their seats, a binding resolution, something that might actually have some effect about the Iraq war?
Well, we'll see. The Democrats in the House, in just the last hour and a half, have passed in committee, which is a big step, the Supplemental Appropriations Bill. Excuse me.
Was that blood?
I'm not coming. No, it was not blood.
Okay,
I don't know. Who knows?
All right.
But they're passing the Supplemental Appropriations Bill. That would give more than $100 billion the president says he needs now. And in that bill are the Democratic plans, their insistence that the troops start withdrawing from Iraq no later than next March, that withdrawal be finished by next fall. But it's not clear if this bill would force the president to do that. It's not a provision in that bill that would absolutely tie the funding to that withdrawal, I don't think, has made it into this version, and there would be a big floor fight over that. So it's not clear how binding this measure is, but it is the farthest that Democrats have gone to attach this kind of language to a spending bill that the president needs. That's the farthest they've gone so far.
Well, all right. Final note, did you see, and we'll have a further story on this for our listeners here, we'll talk about this in more in depth next hour. Did you see that Barack Obama called John Edwards cute?
I did not see that.
Yeah.
Really?
It is. He called him cute. And it was like the most vicious backhanded... is it backhanded compliment or backhanded insult? I can never remember how you do that. Anyway, it was a real subtle way to like put the boot in on him, because to dismiss him as an empty suit. Because he said, he's a good-looking man. He is mighty cute or whatever, something like that. But I swear to God, we have the story today that Barack Obama called John Edwards cute. And it was just done in this... He really is, and you know, all whatever Joe Biden jokes aside, Barack really is a great speaker, because this, I had questioned whether he wrote his own material in his press kits, but that was an off-the-cuff remark, and it's exactly the kind of thing you got to do in politics, where you can't really pin down why it's such a horribly mean thing to say, but it clearly was just a dismissal of Edwards as a candidate.
Just knock it out under the knees.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So, I mean, and I admire anybody. It's like, did you see Zell Miller going crazy the other day talking about them? Talking about, I don't know, the reason... He was going on a whole thing about Roe v. Wade and blah, blah, blah. But, man, that's a guy who, however nutty he may be, and it is very nutty, he can drop just that biblical gravitas that a lot of people can't master. Maybe it's a Southern thing. I don't know.
I think in large part it is a Southern thing. But I think Barack Obama definitely showing Joe Biden a thing or two at the well-placed insult.
Oh, it's true. All right, well, go get better. And for God's sakes, woman, go to a hospital. And,
okay.
Or at least get, you know, buy something. buy some insurance, maybe.
Consumerism. Right, okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Lisa. There you go. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. Fantastic. They ought to just sell, like, at CNN, like that 50-cent airplane insurance used to be able to get. All right, 503. Do they still do that anymore? Airplane and airport insurance, you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't seen that in a long time.
It was pretty creepy, actually. You used to be able to go through airports, and there was a machine. It looked like a cigarette machine. And you'd put 50 cents in, and it would give you insurance for that flight. Because...
What? I've never even heard of that.
It's completely true. It was a vending machine that you would pass on the way to the gate, on the way to get on the plane. You'd put in, like, and it literally was like 50 cents. And it would spit out like an insurance policy that you would carry with you. It was only good for that flight, and it would lapse as soon as you arrived at your destination.
What kind of insurance?
Like $100,000 insurance in case the plane exploded. But because the deal was, statistically speaking, that never happens. And so if half the people on a flight are all paying 50 cents 500 times a day through the airport, you know, they make back enough money in the first year to pay off, you know, one of those claims, which doesn't ever happen anyway. So, yeah, you could buy airplane insurance for like 50 cents as you were getting on the plane. They ought to have that at CNN, because clearly there's something going on there. Paul?
Yeah.
Hi. What's up?
Not much, man. Hey, have you tried pulling the trap off of your drain?
No, I have not, sir.
The U joint.
No, I haven't.
It.
I just use that Drano crap every couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, that you'll find some of the gnarliest, nastiest gunk down in there, and that's probably why it's not draining for you.
Fantastic. Maybe I'll make Scotty do that.
There you go.
When you say gnarliest, nastiest gunk, is it just like hair and crap and whatever?
Hair and soap. like soap scum that's accumulated on the hair.
Yeah.
It's pretty nasty, but I've had to do it. We'll definitely get the thing going again.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Hey, one other thing.
Yeah.
Did you find the humor in that Richard Jenny that he... His last show is called A Big Pile of Me or whatever.
No, I didn't really put that together. But that's a big steaming pile of me.
Yeah.
No.
I thought that was just hilarious that was the name of his last show, and that's what he did to himself.
A big steaming splattery stain of me. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
All right. Thanks a lot.
And that's Paul. Let's do one more here. Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Oh, man, of all the inane crap that I'm calling about, I really got to question my emotional stability. So, Paul was totally right about the trap thing. Take that trap out, and you're going to find freaking Diane, you know, Fossey or whatever name, and, you know, a village of gorillas in there. You really got to retry the electric razor thing. I've got a big ingrown hair issue, you know, so whenever I even look at a regular razor, I'm going to end up with a bump
Something
on my face.
Yeah.
And so I had to go through, I don't know how many razors to find just the be-all, end-all for me. And I've been on the same thing for probably 10 years now. It's a Panasonic. It used to be called, like, the Smooth Operator or whatever.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And now they changed it. It's like a, you know, like the E25683, whatever. You only find them at, like, Fry's Electronics or whatever. But it's just a single bar. And that's the other thing. They try to make all kinds of goofy gimmick, you know, sort of razor configurations with the three freaking heads and whatever. And none of it works. And I found this one, and I swear it was a godsend. And definitely try that and then remove that P-trap, and you should be good.
That's what I had. I had that Norelco with the three floating round heads or whatever the hell.
Those suck.
Yeah, and it just never worked. And they're always close as a blade. My ass is close as a blade.
Exactly. Those are the type that my dad would use and did just bupkis.
Yeah.
Those definitely suck. And let me tell you, my brother, you are the wind beneath my wings. Glad you've been on the air for the last year. And I'm not kidding you. The other 20 hours of the day, I kind of die inside.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, at least you're not coughing up blood, though. I mean, there's that.
You know, I was kind of wondering, I took out a little life insurance policy on Lisa while I was on hold. And I'm kind of wondering if she was borrowing a page from the book of Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, his morning wake-up tonic of cocaine and bourbon.
Yeah, seriously, she was just sort of dismissing it. Well, everybody coughs up blood now and again. I don't think that's the case. Yeah, all right. Thank you, sir. You
call
us, anytime. Thank you. That's Brian. All right, fantastic. Excellent. There you go. Let's see. Believe it or not, let's see. We've got Kevin about airport insurance. Hello, sir.
Yes, I have two things, Rick. First of all, on the airport insurance, if it spits out a piece of paper, what are the chances that's not going to catch fire if their airplane actually goes down?
I hadn't really thought about that. I never have thought about it. How bizarre is that? What? Maybe you fill it out and drop it in a slot or something.
That.
All right. Hello. I had to bleep that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Well, I'm glad, as long as you're okay with it.
I just thought it was funny. I'm sitting here on hold, and that's right here.
You're the manager where?
At Fry's Electronics.
Really? In Wilsonville?
Well, not the manager, but I'm the manager in charge of the appliances and the shavers and such.
I love that place.
Loves you now.
Love you now, Kevin. You and I are soulmates. I love Fry's.
They look me up when I'm going on a business trip to California for 2 weeks. But after that, please, by all means, come see me. I'd love to meet you.
Okay, your name is Kevin Fry's.
Yeah.
Kevin Rich Fries.
I'm going with you. I need to buy a new MP3 player.
Okay, but
I'll give you guys my discount.
Kevin, we appreciate the offer, but it would be wrong and a violation of CBS policy for you to do that. We insist on paying full price.
Yes.
Well, by all means then.
All right. Kevin, well, have a safe trip and we'll come see you.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
I haven't been out to Fry's in a while. Do you ever go through it where all of your electronic devices start to go to crap at like the same time?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I need a camera and an MP3 player.
That's probably how he swore on the air. And then when I dumped it, he acted like it was just, well, fine. Dump it if you must, Rick. All right. Kevin, we would be wrong of us to accept any sort of discount. But, of course, we would be happy to go meet you, as a listener. That would be great. That would be fantastic. Quit making that gesture, Sarah. All right, two more, and then we'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley. Jake, hello, sir.
Hey, I was just hearing you're having problems with the drain, and I'm a drain cleaner, and I was calling to offer you my services. so you could see what that gunk really is like.
Well, now, see, Scotty is claiming that there is no such thing as a U-joint on the sink. Is that true?
It's called a P-trap.
A P? Really?
P-trap. That's what it's called.
Is that because it's shaped like a P?
If you look at it, yeah. It, the waist arm and the trap itself form a P.
And so, now, is that a thing that I'd be able to take off myself, or am I going to, like, break something or flood the house if I try to do that?
Well, let's just say I've been doing this for 11 years, and whenever a homeowner has tried to take care of a problem on their own, it's cost us about three times as much to fix the problem after they tried to fix it themselves.
Well, Tim Riley is a landlord, and he probably experiences that as well. When the tenants try to fix things themselves, Tim...
Oh, no, no. My tenant will call me.
Or they never fix anything.
No, she pretends things are a lot worse. Like, the entire house is burning down. Unless you call me back in 5 minutes, there'll be nothing left.
All right.
But I'd like to give Scotty my phone number if I could, and you can give me a call, and I'd be more than happy to come out there and take care of that for you.
Well, leave your... I think Scotty seems to think that we should be doing it on the air. We should be spelunking through my pipes as part of the radio show. But I'll tell you what, I'll put you on hold, sir.
All right.
Thank you, my friend. That's Jake. All right. Final comment ever on this subject. Hello, sir. Brian.
Hey, Rick, Sarah, Tim, everybody. So, listen, here's the deal with the drain thing. This business of elbows and traps and whatnot, that's a bunch of crap. Here's the deal. You go down under your sink, and where the little dealy bobber that puts the plunger that, you know, you can stop up the sink with.
Uh-huh.
All right. Behind, on that straight pipe, there's a little lever that reaches. You unscrew that thing, you pull out the little lever, you pull up the dealy bobber that
plugs
the sink. The dealy bobber, it's a technical term.
Yes.
And attached to that will be something that looks like a drowned rat.
Okay.
And that is the contents of your face. I know, it's unpleasant, but I took a picture of it.
I'm going to do it and bring it in a bag.
Oh, maybe you'll have one of my bugs, like one of those big creepy bugs.
Oh, yeah. Are there insects in there, sir?
It could be insects and small tapeworms and things. And
small tapeworm.
Ew.
Gangworm.
But the whole thing is all you got to do is clean that out, and that's it. And you do that about every 6-8 months, depending on, you know, how much hair and whatnot falls down there. And it takes about 5 minutes to do. And once you do it the first time, the second time it's easier. Oh, and then that gray soap scum that looks kind of like pudding.
I have seen that. That is hideous. All right, I'm totally going to do that, and I'm going to bring the contents in a bag.
Eat it.
All right, then I'm not going to eat it. Thank you. Thank you. We're done. It's all well and good, and then he had to say eat it. That's not going to happen. Let's take a break here. It's 503-733-2970. Around the corner, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. What was it, Major Chris? Was it tapeworms? Was that the word that got you?
I think gray soap pudding and tapeworms.
Soap pudding. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.